Title of the message today is A Civil War of Values, the Paradigm Shift Taking Place in America. A Civil War of Values, a Paradigm Shift Taking Place in America. Any of you know me know that I am very patriotic. I have always stood for our nation. I have always appreciated the historic values that we have. However, that patriotism was and is based upon the original paradigm on which our nation was founded. My priority and your priority as Christians should be God first, country second. Acts 5:29 talks about that. It says we ought to obey God rather than men. Spent 5 years as a chaplain for the MEPS, Military Entrance Processing Station in Milwaukee, and I prayed and led soldiers to the Lord and recruits to the Lord, giving out hundreds of items of gospel literature, and I am saddened by the fact that a great deal of that is curtailed in our day. You know, I was reading Ephesians chapter 5, and verses 1 through 17, and I want you to turn your Bibles there. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 17, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and hath given us, have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints." You don't live like that. It doesn't become saints. Doesn't become believers. "Neither filthy communication, neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger," that's an immoral person who's sexually immoral, just doesn't follow biblical morality priorities, "nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's what God says, friends, rather reprove them. "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is the light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, wake up, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Then very much of a challenge back then to the Ephesians, and very much a challenge to us today. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, I want to start out, I've talked to you a little bit about it before, but I want to start out by defining a word, and that is the word paradigm, because the title of my message is A Civil War of Values, the Paradigm Shift Taking Place in America. A paradigm is a set of assumptions, concepts, values, and practices that constitute our view of reality. In other words, it's our worldview. It's our worldview, how we view and evaluate the world. And I would say, what is your worldview? I want you to be thinking about that. I've addressed that recently as well, but I want you to think about it again. A paradigm is a set of assumptions, concepts, values, and practices that constitute our view of reality. It is our worldview. In my message, I'm going to be talking about the paradigm shift that's very evidently taking place in our country this very day. Tomorrow we celebrate July 4th, the 4th of July, Independence Day, the birthday of our nation. This year is the 235th year since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Among the 56 men who created and signed the Declaration were many, many God-fearing souls. They knew well the Bible and the values and the ethics that were in the Bible. They knew Psalm 127 and verse 1, which says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Even on our Liberty Bell, the paradigm was a biblical paradigm that our nation was founded on. In the Liberty Bell, it says this: "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is a scriptural quote from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. You cannot deny, or you would be a fool if you did deny, that our founding father and the people who signed the Declaration of Independence didn't know the scriptures, because it appears right in, right on the Liberty Bell, for one thing. You know, of those 56 people who signed the Declaration of Independence, many of them gave their fortunes, many of them died paupers, many of them had their families, lost their families, many of them lost their lives because they believed, as we read, or as Pastor Darrell read for us, as the Philistines were coming out against Israel, I stood there in the Valley of Elah, and our guide pointed out where the Philistines were encamped and where the Israelis were encamped, and pointed out to that little riverbed that we were standing in. And I reached down and I picked up five smooth stones, like David picked up five smooth stones in the Valley of Elah. But here is young David, and he comes to see all the soldiers, and he looks and he sees that God is being mocked and all the soldiers are cowering in their boots, and he's saying, "Is there not a cause?" You know, I would present to you that there is a cause today in our nation. The Judeo-Christian ethic, as I've told you many times before, formed the basis of this country's paradigm, as I've illustrated in the Liberty Bell. They also, you remember, even in Congress, oftentimes Scripture was quoted. I've shared that with you before. Benjamin Franklin was one who quoted Scripture right in Congress. A friend of mine wrote this recently, though, and I want you to listen as I read this. I read this earlier this week, and I was touched by it. It says, "Our nation was founded upon the courage, character, and faith of men and women of great integrity." Well, pause there just for a minute. So these men who founded our nation were men of women of faith and great integrity. Do we have the same kind of leaders today? That's a rhetorical question. My answer would be negatory. Maybe some, but not many. They were men and women with foresight of the understanding that there are some things worth sacrificing everything for, even life itself. They fought against tyranny, but most of all, they fought for freedom. They had a cause and were willing to die for the cause. In fact, many of them died for the cause of freedom. Now, there are things worth fighting for and things worth dying for. Now, to be sure, wars are fought for many reasons. Most wars are fought for greed and against tyranny, and most wars are fought because somebody desires to usurp power. Now, when these wars are global in scale, they are called world wars. And I remember studying World War I and World War II. My dad was in World War II. Then the smaller ones are often called skirmishes or battles. When the oppressed rise up against the oppressor, it's called a revolution. Hence the American Revolution of 1776. And that was precipitated by the Declaration of Independence. When factions within a nation fight against one another, it is called a civil war. And that is why I've titled my message, The Civil War of Values, the Paradigm Shift Taking Place in America. Americans, we better wake up. We stand in the midst of a historical paradigm shift in this nation, a shift in worldviews. We're right in the middle of it right now. There's a civil war of values that is going on today, and we're moving from one paradigm or worldview to another paradigm or worldview. We're moving from the Christian worldview, which is based on absolutes. It's based on the absolutes of the Bible. My friends, are there not things that are always wrong?
Right.
Yes, there are. Are there things that are not always right? The answer is yes. And that is because the Bible defines what is right and wrong. The Bible says that we should not lie. It is not right to lie. The Bible says we should not steal. It is not right to steal. The Bible says we shouldn't commit immorality. It is never right to commit immorality. Now, that's the paradigm on which our nation was founded. However, that paradigm is changing to the humanistic worldview based upon relativism. It is kind of a do-your-own-thing mentality. It is right if it is right for me. Christian friends, we are in a war. It is a war of words. It is a war of ideals. It is a spiritual war. And if it continues, it will likely be an actual war on Christians. And Dr. Lance Ketchum, a friend of mine, put it this way. We stand upon the horizon of the next historical paradigm in the world. We have a new Goliath in power and a new group of Philistines challenging our very right to exist as fundamental Christians. Christians, the courts don't like you. Christians, the laws, many of the laws that are being enacted don't like you. They don't like your absolute stands. Your stand against killing babies. Your stand for life. Your stand against immorality. Your stand against homosexuality. He goes on to say, we are at a time in history where the vast majority, listen now, professing Christians have grown spiritually apathetic and lack the moral character necessary to deal with the persecution that lies in wait for us in the days ahead. The vast majority of evangelical Christians are so concerned about being accepted by the culture in which they live that they are merging those cultures into the church. So you know what you got? You have the emerging church. Very interesting. On today's Friday church news notes, wild goose or slick serpent. Brian McLaren and his emergent heretic buddies met last weekend in North Carolina for the Wild Goose Festival in an attempt to reimagine Christianity for the 20th century under a bigger, wider, and more inclusive tent. Described as a festival of justice, spirituality, music, and arts, there was a heavy dose of embracing gay and lesbians. One tent was dedicated to beer and praise. Ketchum goes on to say, they have sought to keep company with the Philistines, setting around their fires of neo-hedonism while justifying themselves with some pseudo-notion of evangelism. There is no fool more blind than the self-deceived fool. Friends, this spiritual war not only is a war of philosophy and a war of ideologies, but it is an actual war for truth and the nature of truth. The very nature of truth. As born-again believers, what about you? But as a born-again believer, I believe there is absolute truth. There are things, as I mentioned, that are absolutely right, and there are things that are absolutely wrong, and they apply to everyone. Those absolutes have their origin in the Bible. Psalm 119, 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever." How long do the truths of the Bible endure? Forever. It doesn't say, well, they endure if you accept them. It says they endure forever. You don't have to like it, but it's the truth, and you will be judged by the truth. The Ten Commandments, which definitely, there's a battle over the Ten Commandments in our culture. The Ten Commandments are just that. The Ten Commandments are Ten Commandments. They are not 10 suggestions or 10 possible options. And yet, there's a great fight going on today because they want to take the Ten Commandments down from public view on public property, on government property, because somebody might be injured if they believed those Ten Commandments and followed them. Psalm 105b says, "His truth endureth to all generations." But in this new paradigm, truth, if there is such a thing as truth, is at best relative, and it certainly isn't long enduring because it readily changes. As I quoted a moment ago, we have a new Goliath in power, a new group of Philistines challenging our very right to exist as fundamental Christians. The problem is that they are winning the battle against us. But why? They are winning because those who name the name of Jesus Christ sit in the armchairs of neutrality because they're not willing to fight the good fight of faith and be pointed out as those who name the name of Christ. They're not willing to stand against the new Philistines for fear of being mocked and ridiculed and persecuted. They just want to live a peaceable existence. The Philistines win because Christians refuse to take up their cross daily and follow Jesus Christ into the battle for the souls of men and in a battle for the truth. They win because tiny little Christians cower in the trenches while the giants of humanism stand before them mocking both them and their God. Just like the Philistines did before David stood up to the plate. They fear the Philistine hordes. What are the Philistine hordes today? Well, ridicule, persecution, harassment, threats, and death. I'm going to tell you something. There are people out there who hate the Christian paradigm. They hate the Christian worldview, and they are getting more threatening and more violent. I published a part of an article from WorldNet Daily for you to see. And this is taking place in Washington State because the title of it is Support Traditional Marriage, You're Dead. That's the title of the article. And Bob writes, the federal court in Tacoma, Washington has been asked to order that the names of the signatories of the state petition seeking to protect traditional marriage be redacted to protect them from death threats from homosexual activists. See, the homosexual activists have gone into the Freedom of Information. They want the names and addresses of everybody who signed that petition so that it could get on the ballot so that homosexual marriage could be declared unconstitutional in the state of Washington, in Washington State. They want the names of some 138,000 Washingtonians from the state of Washington who signed the petition in 2009 to repeal the law that gave same-sex partners the legal right to be married couples. The petition forced a referendum vote in November of the year, which is in which voters decided to sustain the law. So there isn't any homosexual marriage in Washington State. The issue is some 138,000 Washington State residents who signed the petition in 2009 to repeal the law that gave same-sex partners all the legal rights as marriage partners. The petition forced a referendum vote in November in which voters decided that they couldn't. And in this, there have been threats already on the people who had signed that petition. It's been documented. And I wrote down here some of the things that were said. I will kill you and your family. Just because they stood for traditional marriage. I'm going to kill the pastor. If I had a gun, I would have gunned you down along with each and every other supporter. You're dead. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon, you're dead. I'm gay. I'm a gay who owns a gun, and he's my next target. There's a whole bunch of other things that are written down there. See, people understand that the world and now our nation, as it shifts from the biblical paradigm, and it is shifting from the biblical paradigm, Christians now have become the enemy in many quarters. According to the filing, when some activists could sense that intimidation was not working, they resorted to threatening families, even children of supporters. In one case, the perpetrators threatened to kill the supporter's child and the whole family. In another one, to harm the supporter's family. And in another one, to rape the supporter's daughter. I want to tell you something. I've been threatened with all those things through the years. Did that make me close my mouth? No. But see, I'm worried. I'm concerned as the paradigm shifts. You know, those things weren't comfortable. It wasn't comfortable for my wife. It wasn't comfortable for my family. It wasn't comfortable the time that I was shot at. None of that made me comfortable. But as this paradigm shifts, there is a battle for the souls of my children and my grandchildren. And I refuse to shut up. When God's done with me, he's done with me. It's hard to believe that I have a 19-year-old grandson. I'm way too young for that. But anyway. My question is will you be intimidated into silence? I remind you of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Remember Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but who are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Christians, some of you are, many of you are, but we all need to be in the fight in the civil war of values. Why? Because so many today are turning their backs on the Judeo-Christian paradigm. The front line of the attack is on your children. They're attacking your children. They're attacking your community. They're attacking our church. The Christian paradigm that once set apart our nation and brought God's blessing on us is quickly degenerating and being marginalized. The result of that is that we face an education system that upholds mediocrity in the name of relativism. We face an ever-expanding centralized government unmoored from its constitutional limits. Judges who openly make laws and to shape society based upon humanistic and pop culture rather than serious jurisprudence. There's a growing confusion over America's legitimate role in the world. For the most part, our president is backpedaling on its protection of Israel. And all the more apparent, we see problems that are posed by radical Islamists in our culture. At the root of all these problems is the pervasive doubt about the core values that define America, and that was the Judeo-Christian ethic. Now, let me make one thing clear. It's no time to compromise or waver, Christians. We need to get in the battle. But listen to me. It is not a battle of guns and rocket-propelled grenade launchers and bombs. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every soul through the obedience or to the obedience of Christ. So what are our weapons? Well, the weapon that we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. See, the thing is, I don't want you compromising the Word of God. I don't want you backpedaling on the Word of God. People are going to try and intimidate you into silence, but don't be intimidated into silence. Don't compromise with the world. Speak the truth, speak it in love, but speak it soundly, speak it firmly. You know, we need to be bathed in prayer, and then we need to fearlessly proclaim the gospel and speak the truth of love, the truth in love of the Bible. Now, I want you to know this. There is a victory every time a sinner comes to know the truth and receives God's gift of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Jesus Christ. There's a victory every time. There's rejoicing, it says in Luke 15:7, every time that happens. Amen? That's a victory. Now is the time for all good Christians to come to the aid of their country in the civil war of values. Proclaim the truth, the absolute truth, the truth of the Bible, and the truth will set people free. But we need you to get off of the sidelines and get in the battle. I appreciate our nation's freedom. I'm patriotic because it was based upon the Judeo-Christian ethics of the Scripture. But as our nation shifts paradigms into one of hedonism and secular humanism, I cannot stand for that, and I must obey God rather than man. And so must you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no better day to come to know Christ as your personal Savior than right now.